The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the speaker. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice from your own physician.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Renee Rosati. Today's topic is setting patient expectations, and our guest is Dr. Justin Lance, Doctor of Physical Therapy, currently practicing at USC, the University of Southern California. Dr. Lance, thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little about your training.
Hi, Renee. Thanks for having me. So I started my training actually for undergrad at a place called Northern Illinois University, which is in Illinois. And then I received my Doctor of Physical Therapy degree from Northwestern University. After that, I went on to do my residency and fellowship training at University of Illinois at Chicago. And then post-training, I ended up moving out to University of Southern California, which is in Los Angeles, California. And I am currently practicing as an associate professor of clinical physical therapy. I hold a dual appointment in clinical family medicine as well. I'm currently a practicing clinician, so I see 100% spine while I'm there. And I work in outpatient practice currently. But I'm also the founder and director of our spine physical therapy fellowship program. And this is something that was actually created about 4 to 5 years ago. And we've just graduated our first three fellows. So then as far as my hobbies and outside interests, I have a history of going through like weight training, weightlifting. That's a huge hobby of me, of mine, I think. And I actually used to compete in competitive bodybuilding, so amateur bodybuilding, been competing in shows nationally. I also used to be a high school and college wrestler, and so did that for a while. Still like and enjoy being very active, being outside and everything. Those are some of my, I guess, special interests and hobbies to kind of stay active, but enjoy all things and love art, love being outside, and so kind of try to be well-rounded with all that.
That's great. I love art as well. I'm not a bodybuilder, but I can appreciate that in my physical therapist. So let's dive into the topic. We are going to talk about patient expectations. I think patient satisfaction is very high when we meet their expectations. But something that I have found in practice is that sometimes patient expectations can be unrealistic. And so how do you go about setting that expectation, or what have you seen when they come to see you for their spine physical therapy?
I really think that's a truly relevant and a great question that I think is a really tough question for most clinicians, no matter what specialty you're in. And I think for me, what it comes down to is going back to our history and physical exam. I think really setting the stage for having a very, very in-depth history and a very, very in-depth physical exam will kind of really uncover a lot of the different factors that lead to their expectations. A lot of these patients, I think, come in and say, hey, I don't want any pain. Never want to have pain again. No pain. I always kind of say, well, that's pretty similar to me saying I never want to be sad again. And so it's a little unrealistic, and usually your patients will kind of laugh and then understand a little bit. But taking it back to the next question that I ask them, and that's about what did the pain prevent you from doing? Everybody has pain, but what made it so bad for you that you had to go and see somebody? What did it prevent you from doing? Was this you're lifting your kids? Was this being at work? Was this sitting? Was this doing the things you enjoy? And usually getting some objective, measurable goals out of them can kind of help establish some of those expectations so you can really see. It's still tough, and there's still patients, I think, that really have issues with that. But I think working with them on that is really the first goal. But I think the second goal is really kind of looking at, again, the thorough history and physical exam. If they don't understand the diagnosis, if they don't understand the prognosis, they don't understand the plan of care, they're going to be completely confused on what they think they need. And I think as non-operative and operative providers, we really have a hard time with a lot of these patients who have seen 10, 20 providers before us, because the patient already has that bias. They've already been like, well, I've seen a physical therapist before. I've seen a pain physician. I've seen a surgeon. This is what they told me to do. And again, it sparks another question in my brain of, well, if we're keep doing the same things that they've done and you're still not better, maybe it's time to try something new. And so I'm really kind of working with them, sharing that decision halfway is I think a great approach to start. And then I think then kind of working with them and again, their understanding of what is actually going on, which I think that comes back to our skill set. And that's really our detail with our history, our physical, and seeing them as a whole person. Because I think also something on our end is we get a little biased and we kind of focus on, well, it's this disc, it's this level, it's this nerve root. But in the end, we're looking at the patient as a whole, and that's just one problem that they have. And so I think on our side of the game with physical therapy, it's a very unique thing because I'm going to say a patient coming in with a, you know, C5-6 cervical radiculopathy who's 25 years old and otherwise pretty healthy and athletic, their treatment plan actually might be a little different and their expectations might be a little different compared to somebody who's maybe in their 60s, depression, anxiety, lost their job because of this, you know, and so we have to kind of take those all in together.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Now, from the physical therapy standpoint, do you find that patients come to PT expecting that this isn't going to work? Because I think a lot of patients come to my interventional pain management practice wanting surgery or at least wanting a shot. And, you know, I suggest let's try physical therapy first. And that takes effort on the patient part. And I think most people want a quick fix. So how do you treat a patient who shows up and is maybe disgruntled to try PT?
Absolutely. We see those all the time. And I'm going to say, I think it is very difficult. And I think what I try to do at first is really empathize and kind of understand their journey, how they got here. And really kind of, again, going back to that history and kind of listening, going, okay, they went through the ringer. They had a lot of issues. I see, I can understand, I can put myself in their shoes. And in, when we look at that, then I can kind of understand it. And I think I start going into, well, what do they feel helped them? What do they feel did not help them? What was tried? What was not tried? You'd be so surprised when people look at physical therapy specifically. I'll speak on this. Physical therapy is a very interesting part because, you know, they'll kind of go, well, I tried physical therapy. It didn't work. Not for me. But I said, you know, that's the only form of medicine that I've ever seen that happen. People don't say that about the dentist. Like, oh, I went to the dentist. Yeah, it didn't work for me. I'm done with teeth, right? They don't always look at that. And so I think for my standpoint, I really have to dive deep into kind of looking at, well, what have they tried? It's a little bit different for everybody. And yes, we have clinical practice guidelines. Yes, we have standards, but there also is the art in medicine as well as the science. And so I think we have to tailor those things to certain people. I think you hit the nail on the head. We have to get them to also believe that they're going to get better. There's tons of research out there to show that if they believe that they will get better, they'll have better outcomes. And so it's really about that shared decision-making. And I think when I approach it, after hearing their story about what maybe worked, what didn't work, I sometimes ask them, what do you feel like you need? And one kind of ism that I always say, and all my fellows will probably say, you know, I say this way too much, but my big thing is about your patient will tell you exactly what is wrong with them and exactly how to get them better, but you just have to listen and ask the right questions. And so I think that's huge because if you sometimes just ask, you know, they'll tell you, well, you know, the last guy, you know, all he did was is I walked in there, he gave me an exercise, told me to work out with something. That's the last time I saw him. Yeah. Or the one person, you know, I told them I was really uncomfortable with cracking my spine, but they did it anyways. You know, and those are such small things that you can change because those are just part of being a person. Nobody wants to do stuff that they're uncomfortable with. But I think those are small things that you can kind of change and work with the other stuff that I talked about as far as, you know, the education on diagnosis, prognosis, and plan of care to kind of get them on your side. And I hate to say that we have to sell it a little bit, but sometimes we do. And I think, but sometimes those are the patients who now respect you for trying to work with them and trying everything possible before jumping to the last resort. And I imagine it's very, very similar when somebody just says, I just need this injection. I need to get out of here. And I think with non-operative spine care, it's really tough because when you look at it, we're probably one of the only forms of medicine that involve active participation from our patients. They want a medication, that's passive. They want the injection, that's passive. They want a surgery, that's passive. But it's that active participation that we need that helps get some of these patients better who really need both sides of it, both people working. And so it has to be a partnership between the patient and the clinician.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And that's a great terminology, active versus passive participation. All right. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add about patient expectations?
I don't think for specifically to patient expectations, I could probably talk for hours. If anybody who knows me knows, I can keep talking for hours. But I just wanted to say I really appreciate the opportunity to do this, and thank you so much for taking my perspective on this.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you have any podcast topic suggestions you want to hear from, we will find an expert to talk about it. Just send us a message on NAS Spine. It has three S's on our Instagram page. Thank you again for your time. Bye.